All right, well, good morning. Thank you for being here, and I really, I'm excited about the kids' worship, and they're going to learn something, and they're going to learn about the Lord, and that's one thing, you know, I really, really appreciate about Sarah. They're going to learn, having fun, and they won't even know they're learning, and that's what it's about, isn't it? And so that's a good thing. We are, our next hard saying is, you must be born again, John 3:16. And that's a, we're very, very familiar with that passage, and we all know it. We know it by heart. Karen, would you lead us in prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to come today to your house to worship you, and thank you for each family and each person that's here. Lord, just be with us as we continue to look at the heart sayings of Jesus, and Lord, I just pray that you will help us to share the gospel and to tell people that you love them and that you died for us. Thank you for everything you do for us, and be with Randy throughout this message, Lord, and just give him the words that you want him to say. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. I don't think I'm on, Mr. Brian. Bingo. Testing. Whoa, that'll wake you up. Go down a little bit, just, yeah. Thank you. Yeah, that's good. All right, Brian, thank you so much. And speaking of Brian, I really appreciate the pictures and the things that he puts on Facebook. It's enjoyable. And, you know, that those are the things that just make Mount Vernon get out there when there's things that are new and things that are different. But we can't ever get it away from who? The Lord. You got to make sure it's all about him. And I trust and I know it'll always be about him. John 3:16. Now let's say it together, all of us together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's a verse of scripture that we know. But no matter how we know it, and we think it's a verse of scripture that is just so familiar to everybody, it's not. I'll never forget, and if my aunt and uncle are listening, I don't mean anything bad about this, but my aunt, she's born and raised Catholic. And you know, you watch those football games and you always have that guy with the crazy hair who always holds up a sign that says John 3:16. She asked me one time, she said, what does that mean? What's John 3:16? And it really threw me back because I thought, well, everybody knows John 3:16. No, not everybody does. And we talked about it, but that just made me well aware that not everybody knows everything that we think they should know. We believe that someone knows this, we believe someone, but they don't necessarily do. And to be born again, I don't know if it's for some, you on the left-hand side, I know will never remember this, but those on the right-hand side, if you'll remember when Jimmy Carter was running for president, he was in an interview, and one of the news people asked him about being a Christian. He said, I'm born again. Well, that just threw born again back into the news. Do y'all remember that? And it really made it pop, being born again, really made people wonder, well, what does born again mean? That being said, go back to the time of Jesus. Go back to when Jesus was preaching and he talked about the whole idea of born again. It was even a greater response about what was he talking about than when you know, Jimmy Carter or anybody now brings it up again about being born again. It's just something. Now, to you and I, it doesn't seem like it's a very hard saying. So you might ask, well, why is that in this whole series about being a hard saying of Jesus? Because you have to think about what Jesus was saying and who he was saying it to and who he was talking to. When Jesus gave him any idea and he talks about being born again. He talked about salvation in particular. They must have looked at him like he had two heads. They didn't have any concept of salvation. No concept of salvation. There was, the Jews had no need in it. We'll talk about that in a minute. Or they didn't think they had any need in it. But one thing I love about Jesus, if you never noticed, he has the ability to always muddy up the water. You know, their belief and what they think is just kind of smooth. And Jesus comes along and says and does something and just muddies it up. And they have no idea what to think. And they have no idea what to do. And they have no idea what Jesus is talking about. And when Jesus talked about love and not hate, loving your neighbor, loving, oh, for goodness sakes, the Gentile. Everybody hated Gentiles, at least the Jews did. There's just, he brought into so many things. And this whole idea of born again was such a new concept. When he shared the gospel, he didn't do it in vindictive. He didn't do it in a judgmental. He didn't do it in a self-evaluating way. Jesus simply told them what they needed to do to have everlasting life. Loving those who love us. Loving those who despise us. All brand new ideas. You know the idea of Jesus saying, turn the cheek, turn the other cheek. Now, how many people have you ever met in your life, if they were struck on one side of the cheek, would turn their cheek around and let you hit them again? Or let that, you let them hit you again? Very few people. You know, in our day and age, if somebody strikes you on the cheek, you're liable to strike them right back. That's kind of the way we usually respond. And that's not the response that Jesus is talking about. And they respond would have responded the same way. And so when Jesus is saying you need to turn the other cheek, you need to love people that hate you, you need to love this, you need to love them, you need to do this, you need to do that. And the whole idea, these brand new ideas that Jesus gave them are what cost him his life. Because they didn't want to hear it anymore. He had such a revolutionary way of looking at stuff. He had such a revolutionary way of preaching and teaching that they were so sick and tired of it, they had to try to take his life. They didn't take his life. He gave his life. There's always a big difference. So when we come to the story, you must be born again. Nicodemus, it's a new message that is given. The Jews believed this with all that they were. If you were a descendant of Abraham, you're okay. I don't care how low you were. I don't care about what kind of criminal you were. I don't care what kind of big, everybody in society hated you. As long as you were a descendant of Abraham, you had a free ticket to heaven. That's the way they believed. Was that true? Can't imagine it being true. Because faith was a big thing in the Old Testament that we could talk about that at another day that we don't really think about, but it was. But as long as you could prove that Abraham was in your lineage, that you were a descendant of him, you were okay. And that's just not true. And that's what Jesus was trying to tell them. John the Baptist said that God could make descendants out of these rocks. That's why they couldn't stand John the Baptist, because he deviated from what they believed. He taught something different. It challenged them. It was different than what they normally talked about. It was different than what they normally believed. Abraham can't save anybody. My grandfather couldn't save my father and couldn't save me. We talked about this the other day. God does not have grandchildren. He just has children. Right? To the Gentiles. The Gentiles, which we are Gentiles, were considered to be lost and hopeless. As far as the Jews are concerned about the Gentiles, That's the way they looked at them. If they were lost, they were a hopeless case. There's nothing you could do. Although they did say, they did send people out in what's called the diaspora, which is dispersed, is what it means, out in proselyting and trying to get some of the Gentiles to become Jews, which is kind of odd what they normally believe, but they did. So there must have been another way to become a descendant of Abraham, but that's the big one. Nicodemus. What do we know about good old Nicodemus? Nicodemus was a Pharisee. So what does that tell you that he's a Pharisee? We already know something about him. When someone comes up and says, "Hi, I'm a Pharisee," how many people say, "Oh, it's good to meet you. You know, you're so humble and so giving and so loving and caring." There were anything but that. Pharisees were very self-righteous. Pharisees thought that everybody else, even the Jews, were doomed because they weren't as good as the Pharisee. The prayer that Jesus talks about, the Pharisee and the sinner in the temple, and the Pharisee's prayer is, "God, thank you that I'm a Pharisee, and thank you that I'm not like this guy." And for you ladies, another prayer is, "Thank you you didn't make me a woman." That's part of a pharisaical prayer. Boy, you make friends real quick, wouldn't you? But that was one of their prayers. He was not only a Pharisee, he was a member of the Sanhedrin, which made him one of the ruling people in Israel. He had a voice on as a Sanhedrin. It was just like the government, the church government, and that's what he was in. And we know one other thing about Nicodemus: he was a very educated man. He's heard about Jesus. He things that Jesus has said have puzzled him. He knows what the Old Testament says. He knows what the Bible says. He knows in the Old Testament exactly what is being said and what has been taught all these years, because Nicodemus probably taught these things. But he's curious. So what Nicodemus does, he comes to see Jesus at night. Now, there's a lot of theories behind that, but one of the things that is we don't usually talk about, but men, when at the end of the day, when all the work is done, the evening meal is completed, they would get together at night and talk about the Torah. That's when they would get together and talk, would be at night. So Nicodemus coming to Jesus as a Pharisee to talk to a rabbi at night was a common thing. Now, you also get the impression, did he come in through the front door or through the back door? We get the impression that Nicodemus came in through the back door because he didn't necessarily want to be seen. You know, so you have these things that are going on. Rabbi, teacher, scholar, carpenter, we know all of these things about you. Nicodemus acknowledges, he said, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God because of all the miracles that thou doest. We know, Jesus, that you have got to be something different than we normally deal with. We know that you're not just a rabbi, you're a rabbi supreme. That you're the rabbi's rabbi because you are doing things, you're doing miracles." Rabbis were teachers. Oftentimes the rabbis traveled from city to city or town to town. And then they would teach sometimes as guests in their local synagogues. But he says, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher, you come from God." I doubt Nicodemus has said this very often about anybody else. "I've heard what you have taught. I've heard of what you have done. It must be from God." Nicodemus doesn't even ask the question. Jesus says, "Nicodemus, you must be born again." Jesus knew what was in his heart. He knew what was in his mind. This is such a new concept, and I'll probably say this several times, but we have the benefit of so many years into having the Bible that we take a lot of these things for granted. But being born again, what in the world? It's a very difficult saying. It's a hard saying for any of them to understand. I'm sure Nicodemus looked at him, and looked in his eyes, Here he is, a Pharisee, a member of the Sanhedrin, a very intelligent man, and I'm sure he had a blank look in his face when Jesus told him, you must be born again. Nicodemus probably looked at Jesus like, what in the world are you talking about? I've been in chemistry and math classes like that. I think, what in the world are you talking about? And that's the way Nicodemus was when he was, how can anyone be born again? If you had never, just say for a moment, if you've never been to church, you've never heard anything about the Bible, you don't know anything about God, and I come up and say, you can't go to heaven unless you've been born again. Now, what's going to go through your mind? Born again was such a new thing for them. This is the first time they've heard of it. Nicodemus, you must be born again if. This whole new reality is thrown on Nicodemus, and he walked into, like walking into a cold shower. He had no idea what Jesus was talking about. You and I, we hear it, and we hear it, and we hear it, and people hear it, and they still resist. They still don't want to know. They still don't care. Nicodemus is still curious. How is it that a man can be born again? How is it that Jesus, how can a man be born twice? Can he go back into his mother and then be born a second time? That's an impossible thought. No, he literally cannot go inside and be born again of his mother. It just can't happen. One of the most educated, powerful men in the world, and he's spiritually lost. And lost in any type of understanding. Now it's all shook up. Jesus has pulled the rug out from under their belief system. Everything that they believe now has been shaken at the foundation. Born again. Salvation. What does that have to do with anything? And now Jesus explains. Born of water, that's a physical birth. We do understand that. Water is understood to be a physical birth. Water, birth water is being born the first time, a physical birth that all of us have been through. A spiritual birth is totally surrendering to the Lord in all that we are. Except a man. Unless, there's no compromise in this. You think about it. You must. There's no other way, Nicodemus. The only way to salvation is very simple. Unless you accept, you must. It's basically what he's telling Nicodemus. Jesus didn't say this. He did not say, oh, Nicodemus, all you have to be is a descendant of Abraham. That's out the window. Jesus also addressed, you know, he didn't say, because Nicodemus is a Pharisee, he didn't say, all right, Nicodemus, you're a Pharisee, you're okay because you're a good guy. That went out the window. And I'm sure Nicodemus was probably a very wealthy man, and he wouldn't have been a Pharisee or a Sanhedrin. And Jesus didn't say you could buy your way in, so that went out the window. And I'm sure, you know, among the Sanhedrin and his upper crust, they're what you and I would call just good old boys with each other. That doesn't count anymore, so that went out the window. So everything that he has relied upon, everything that he has stood upon, everything that has made his social network is now destroyed. It's gone. If he wants what he's asking for. Enter the kingdom of God, nor see the kingdom of God, if you don't do this. Was he getting unruly?
No.
Be born of the Spirit. Again, as we see water as a natural birth, Spirit is a spiritual birth. Nicodemus, just picture this, though. Jesus is talking. Picture them at the table over drinking a cup of coffee or tea or whatever it is. Yak milk, I don't know what they were drinking. But they were sitting there talking. And Jesus is trying to explain, and he keeps looking at Nicodemus, and Nicodemus continues to have that look on his face, and continues to be more puzzled and more puzzled and more puzzled. How in the world can these things be, Jesus? How can these things be? I'm sure Nicodemus is probably thinking for a moment, then why did I even come to see him? I'm more confused now than I was before I got here. I'm totally lost, Jesus. I'm in water up to my neck. I don't understand. And Jesus says, the wind bloweth and you hear it, but you still don't know where it comes from or where it goes. That didn't help matters either. I can't imagine. Nicodemus is saying, all right, what about the wind? That doesn't matter. I don't understand. Okay, but Jesus is laying a foundation. He's saying, you know the wind blows. You have faith that the wind is blowing. You didn't see it come, and you don't know where it went, but you knew it was there. Yes, okay, we can surmise that. There is wind. I don't see it, but I know it's there. And he says again, born of water, born of the Spirit. Flesh is of flesh, and spirit is of spirit. Okay, Jesus, we're getting close. We're getting close. I'm still confused. And Jesus looks at him and says, Nicodemus, aren't you a master of Israel? And you don't know what I'm talking about? Actually, if you read the Old Testament, it points to salvation. If you read the Old Testament, it points to being born again. It may not say those exact words, but Nicodemus, if you knew what your Old Testament says, it talks about all of this. It's a very hard saying. All right, we know he's confused. We know he's lost. We know he's in over his head. He's at wit's end. Listen, Nicodemus. Jesus now hand feeds him. That whosoever, that you or me or Nicodemus, believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Those verses go together. We only use one, but they go together. The only begotten Son, not Abraham. Whosoever, that's everybody, believeth on him, Jesus, will not perish, go to hell. Everlasting life, that's eternity. Verse 17 says, Jesus didn't come to condemn because what? The world was condemned already. We're already condemned without Jesus, but with Jesus, we're not. If you believe, you're no longer condemned. Now do you understand, Nicodemus? Now do you understand? This is my personal belief. That I believe Nicodemus walked away that night after talking to Jesus. I believe he accepted Christ as his Savior. And my only proof on that is when Jesus dies, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus petitioned the body of Jesus. Now, if Nicodemus had not done so, why would he care what happened to the body of Jesus? Why would he care? He'd be just another Pharisee that just washed his hands of it. But I believe with all my heart Nicodemus knew Jesus as his personal Savior after all of this encounter. He had to believe. It's hard saying. It's one that we hear often. But it was one that was so uncommon and so hard for them to understand. And we talk about being born again, and it's kind of like you must be born again. We just say it like everybody knows, but not everybody does know. Not everybody does know. Not everybody does understand. And so when you start talking to somebody about being born again or being saved, the only way you can have everlasting life is to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. They still don't understand. And we can't ever take for granted that people that you're sharing Jesus Christ with understand what you're saying. Because we have Nicodemus who was talking to Jesus, who was just as lost in the wind as a leaf would be. But he finally understood. So when we talk about you must be born again, when you're sharing Jesus or you're inviting somebody to church, remember they may not know what you're saying. Do it with love and kindness and patience, because they may not understand. And you think about this. How are they going to know about Jesus? How are they going to know about being born again? Unless we do what? Unless we tell them. Right? We've got to tell them. We've got to show them. We've got to let them know what it means to be born again. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that Nicodemus had the courage to come and talk to you. He had the courage to come and sit down and listen to what it means to be born again. Father, if there's anyone out there that is listening, if there's anyone out there that is tuned in or will listen to us at a later date, if they don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, Father, this is all they have to do is to confess their sins. Father, forgive me of my sins. And all they've got to do is believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died on the cross for our sins. And we just simply ask that Jesus, that you would be my Savior. Father, we just pray that they'll understand that's what being born again means, is that you're born of this world, but when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're born of God's world, the spiritual realm. Father, your will be done, and we thank you for this opportunity to share. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.